because Jonathan Shunker's got a history, or yeah, he's just not funny. I mean, he is to the point. But I have a joke, and I wanted to tell it only because I thought it was really corny, and I really find Jonathan's jokes corny. Who does? Who finds? Yeah, I think that's his trademark. Yes, we do love him. But I got to read it because I can't do it justice, and I found it on my phone. I actually have to wear glasses now, eh? It does. Like, I forget. I go to a restaurant, and I sit down. I forget my glasses. I'm looking at the menu. I'm like, can you read my menu for me? To people who are with me or the waitress, and it's really embarrassing. And I end up ordering soup anyway. So, okay. A man was terribly overweight, so his doctor put him on a diet. I want you to eat regularly for 2 days, then skip a day. Then eat regularly again for 2 days, then skip a day. Repeat this process for 2 weeks. Then the next time I see you, you should have lost at least 5 pounds. When the man returned, he shocked the doctor by having nearly lost 60 pounds. Wow, that's amazing, the doctor said. Did you follow my instructions? The man nodded. I'll tell you, though, I thought I was going to drop dead on the third day. From the hunger? The doctor asked. No, from the skipping. See, I was hoping for that, because every time John tells a joke, it's like, Anyway, I'm going to pray. I can't pray with my glasses on. I can't do a lot with my glasses on. I'm not used to them. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you that you are here and that you want to speak to our hearts. I pray that, I pray that you just really soak in all the words that we need to hear and all the stuff that has been bothering us or on our heads and our minds, that you just take it outside of ourselves and just be able to focus on your words. God, you love us so much, and you want to give us so much, and we just want to receive everything tonight. Amen. So, if I get really awkward with my glasses, I apologize, because I actually haven't spoken with my glasses, and it's kind of dark right here, so I might squint and then realize I need them. If you have to remind me, go ahead. Just say, Mel, just put them on, it'll be fine. Tonight, you guys have been doing David for quite a while. Who's been here since the whole David thing? No, I'm like David in the Bible, not my friend David. So I'm going to do the worst thing possible. I'm going to assume you know everything about David. No, I'm not. But I'm not going to like throw a whole bunch of stuff at you, because I'm going to talk about Mephibosheth. It took me a long time to say that. Oh, gosh. You know what? That's work. I'm sorry. I'm just going to turn my phone off. It's a submarine. Yeah. Reminds me of nothing. Okay. One of the things, a few years ago, I had this amazing revelation, and my kind of heart story is about destiny, about the story of destiny. And tonight I had this really cool, like, presentation, and then my Mac is too old for something and everything, and it didn't work. So now you get stuck looking at me the whole time. By the way, the other thing is like, I go to Central, right? Yeah, it's great. But you guys all look from like, you guys look like out of an H&M commercial. Like, everyone looks good here. Like, you're hot looking. Like, I walked in, I'm like, oh my God. Is it because it's up north or something? There's no pollution? I mean, seriously, if I come here, will I start looking good like this? Like you guys? I'm sorry, that's how my brain works, but I was just impressed with most people. Sorry, I'm not gonna tell you. But anyway, my story is about my talk tonight is about destiny. It's about Mephibosheth and David. Now I want to ask you guys, and you're more than welcome to say no, but you're Christian, so you have to love me anyway. I'm gonna tell you guys the truth tonight. I'm gonna like bear it out and just tell you the truth. Most speakers that I've heard don't do that. Really, they kind of like back off a little bit, and like they don't share too much of themselves, because if they do, oh my gosh, they're exposed and the story is over and people get distracted by it. But you're gonna have to love me afterwards, because I already told you you're good looking, so I buttered you up. Oh gosh, I need my glasses already. So we are in the end times. Who believes that? Like, this is not eschatology night, but seriously, it's creeping me out. Like, the guy talked about the rapture, but I thought, wow, like, what if? That'd be cool. A friend and I were out talking about it, and I don't know if you know Sheena. Some of you guys do. We were sitting at a restaurant, and it was like, I didn't even know about this guy. She told me about him, and obviously I'm not on the internet too much. And I said, what would you do? This has nothing to do with my talk. I just thought it's funny. What would you do if actually you had no doubt at all that God was coming, Jesus was coming back the next day, like 2 days from now? Like, what would you do different? You know, very deep theological thought. And we sat there, and we were both like, nothing. Like, maybe take a trip, I don't know, for 2 days, road trip, woo! And like, but really, it was weird. But the things that amazes me about our destiny is that you guys, all of us, were put here at a specific time and a purpose. Like, we are at the, like, Star Wars 3 or 6 or something. We're at, you know, X-Men movie, the end of the movie. Actually, the next one, they go back and the... forget it. We're like Lord of the Rings. We're in the last stuff going on, right? And God knows this, and this is our destiny. And I have always thought, isn't it great that, you know, we can actually step in and say, we're born for this time. We're born to be kings and queens. We're born to reign. We're born to be amazing because God is amazing. He is our Father, and he's above everything, right? And he's created the world. Someone once said that they had a vision of God sitting on the throne, and all he did was move his little pinky, and this angel went flying off. Like, ah! You know? Like, but God is huge and amazing, and it totally blows me away when I think about the destiny that we all have. I'm going to narrow it down a little bit. Destiny, one of the definitions that I have, is a predetermined course of events considered as something beyond human control. Now, that sounds kind of like humanistic and very, the universe is talking. But in Ephesians 1:4, it says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. One of the things that amazes me is that God gives us a destiny, not because of what we've done in our past, but because he knows what our future's like. He knows where he wants us to be. He knows who we're going to become. And the story of Mephibosheth, I'm going to call him Meph. I haven't done this talk in a few years, and it took me like months to get that name. Now I'm back to square one. Meph. Do we even have a last name? I could call him like MD. Oh, I'll call him MD for the day. Okay, maybe not. But Mephibosheth and David, they're two men in the Bible. Two men that had a destiny, two men that I'm going to share with you guys the contrast, the sameness, the difference, all kinds of stuff. They both had huge, amazing destinies. A lot of us, this is where the truth comes in, starting to. A lot of us come to church and you hear amazing talks. Hopefully this one will be cool too. And you're loving God and you're worshiping, and then you go home. And you're like, whoa, why is everything like this? What's going on? Like, why am I acting like this? Why is the destiny that and the dreams that I have aren't being fulfilled? We tend to lose hope. One of the things about Mephibosheth, and I'm going to give you two main verses. 2 Samuel 4:4. I'm going to read that, I think. One of the things with him is he was born into a royal family, right? And I just said, you guys are all born into God's family. We're reigning, we're ruling. So he was born in this amazing family, Saul. And if you guys have gone through all this, you've already talked about Saul tons, probably. And it says this. Oh my gosh, this is small. I forgot how small this was. Okay, does someone look this up and read this for me? I feel 2 Samuel 4:4. Mephibosheth. Yes, everyone together. Mephibosheth. That's cool. We should do it again. No, I'm kidding. So Mephibosheth was King Saul's grandson. So here we got Saul, we got Jonathan. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I really shouldn't do this, and I never would, but I know this sounds really corny, but John Arnott's been... Okay. All right, nothing. I have a job. I work at the church now. I do part-time security, and it's really random. And I just got a phone call from John Arnott. Who gets a phone call from John Arnott? I did. So who's John Arnott? He's our founding pastor, if you don't know, and he's like, "Hi, Mel. How are you doing today? God loves you." And so I just, it's really awkward. Does that sound like him? No. Okay. Oh, a little bit? A little? Okay. So I feel a little bit like when my brain went outside to take the phone call, and then I'm like, "Oh, who gets a call from John Arnott?" Anyway, so where was I? Mephibosheth. Okay, so he was King Saul's grandson. He was a son of a prince, the grandson of a king, and one of the things that is crazy that every time he's mentioned, and we'll read some more about him, is everyone says, "This is Mephibosheth. He's lame in his feet. This is Mephibosheth. He hurt his feet. He can't walk." It's like he was labeled that. Isn't that crazy? Like if you had an ingrown toenail and everyone knew about it and like, "Hey, this is Lindsay with the ingrown toenail." You'd be like, after a while, you'd be like, "Okay, I get it. I have an ingrown toenail. Look at me. Walk around. Like, you know, I'll get it fixed one day." But every time someone in the Bible talks about Mephibosheth, they give him a label. Now, if you guys have been labeled, "This is so-and-so." I might pick on some people, but this I'm not labeling you, just so you know. You don't have an ingrown toenail. Okay. The next day, she's like, "What's going on? My foot hurts." Healing in Jesus' name. But, like, how many of you guys have been labeled? How many of you have grown up in, like, pastor's kid? Or even worse, this is so-and-so. This is Mel. You know, she's not all that smart. She has learning disability. And I did. You know, I grew up going to grade school and not graduating and finding out the day of graduation that I didn't graduate. I mean, how awkward is that? I'm like, why has everybody got a diploma and not me? And I remember going through major healing for that, because that was a huge label. This is Melinda. She's not that smart. We can't really tell her because she'll get upset. We'll tell her later. Or worst case, I know you guys all look good, but what about those of you guys who don't like themselves? You know, and I'm being honest here. I'm being truthful. Not everybody in this place probably absolutely loves themselves. You know, what label do you put on yourself? How many times you heard one label and then you start believing it? And that is the crazy thing about Mephibosheth. He didn't even hear the good label. He didn't even hear the most amazing label. You are the grandson of a king. You know, you may have fallen and are lame, and you're living off in like this weird land. People were freaking out then. Like, they thought, you know, if Saul's dead and Jonathan's dead and David's taken over, they're going to, you know, David's going to kill off all of Saul's family. But David wasn't like that. But everybody told Mephibosheth, "Hide away. You're lame. You're not worth anything. You're unfit to serve." Some people talked about that. He was the next in line to be the king, right? That's kind of how it works. Although Prince William, I've confused why they're called Dutch and Duchesses now, but we won't get there. If anyone knows, please tell me. I'm like, "Well, I thought they were like Prince and Princess." Oh, well, she's old. Let's go. I hope you're not recording this. Okay. Bless the Queen. God bless. Okay. So David wasn't the typical guy. Like, David, I'm going to totally stop and read the story. So David wasn't a typical king. And if you've ever been listening the last few weeks, you'll notice that David wasn't a typical man. One of the two things that amazes me about Mephibosheth and David is that they both were kings. They're both were called to be kings, but Mephibosheth had it good. Like, he was born into it. How hard is it to believe you're supposed to be king when you're born a king? But David had to actually believe in God, believe that he was anointed, believe when he was, 14? that he walked up and Samuel anointed him as king. So from 14 to 30, that's a long time to believe you're king. How many of you guys have had a dream or a destiny put in you, and it's been a long time? You know, you've been a kid, and someone said amazing stuff over you. You had a dream when you were growing up, and it's been forever, and you're like, this is not happening. Mephibosheth and David had the same choice. They had the same choice to believe God or believe what everybody else around them was saying. But David, not being a normal guy, I mean, he was normal, but he was, all right, he was not normal. He was a man after God's own heart. He believed God no matter what situation he was in. So instead of being the normal king that went off and would kill off Saul's family, because by then it would have been a small city, you know, all the concubines and the wives and children running rampant, it would have been a huge amount of people. And everyone beyond Israel, like pharaohs and Vikings, no wait, wrong history, Pharaoh and Thor, but all those guys would, as soon as they became king, they would kill off the family just in case someone came up and said, well, you know, this is rightfully mine. But Israel was under God way before Saul. Israel had God as king, and he set up a different president, he set up a different idea. And David knew this. He knew that he was anointed king. He knew Saul messed up a bit, but he also knew Saul's family was still born into royalty. But Mephibosheth didn't know this. So here we have Mephibosheth. He's hurt himself. Well, actually, the nurse fell on him, but I don't know. He's older now. Okay, he's older now. He's got a kid. And David comes along in chapter 9. You guys can look that up. I'm going to kind of read a little bit if I can see it. Now David said, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You guys know throughout your history lesson, I guess, that David and Jonathan were best friends. That's an awkward friendship. Only because, only because, like, if my best friend's dad hated me, I'd have major issues. I wouldn't want to hang out with them. I'd feel like I could get killed any second. Mind you, it's probably what David felt like. And Jonathan's, like, you know, trying to, like, smooth things over, and it didn't work. So the servant comes along and said, yeah, there's one guy. Again, he says, there's still a son of Jonathan. His name is Mephibosheth. He didn't say that. He said, there's still a son of Jonathan, but he's lame in his feet. It's like this servant was trying to convince David, oh, he's not worth it. He's so labeled unfit for service, unfit to be royal, that why would you have anything to do with him? Like, really? Let's find some other kid. I'm sure Saul's got some other ones, you know? But David, again, wasn't a normal guy. He basically said, go get him. So they went off and got him. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself, basically laid out on the floor. Then David said to Mephibosheth, he answered, here is your servant. Do not fear, David says, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's sake, your father. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? You know, not only is the servant saying he's lame, is the writer of Samuel saying he, I didn't know what book I was in, Samuel is saying he was lame. He even said, why are you even worried about why? Everyone's told me my whole life. The guy probably was a bit older than David by this point. You know, why are you even, like, talking to me? I'm a dead dog. But David basically said, no, I don't know what you're smoking today, but that's wrong. You are a king's son. You, from now on, are going to be treated as royal. You, from now on, no matter what people say about you, you're going to eat at my table. You're going to probably get fat because the guy had never had food where he lived. And you're going to be, like, shown that you're a king. Shown you're a king's son. I want to tell you guys, this is where the a big truth in my life comes in. The truth is, right now in my life, I am more like Mephibosheth. Like, I don't know about the rest of you. God has shown me amazing destinies in my life. He's shown me all kinds of stuff. I'm trying really hard to become a police officer of all things. I just want the gun, really. I did say that on, please, officer, if you ever hear this, it's a joke. But I have been trying for the last 3 years to do this. I mean, I don't need to tell the story, but every time something comes up, I'm like, but God, you told me. 4 years ago, I was sitting in my car, and this was like, you know, all kinds of stuff was happening in my life, and God basically downloaded. It was like, you know how when you like somebody a lot and you always think about them, you're like, oh, they're so great, and you're like constantly thinking about them and you can't get them out of your head. It was kind of weird that way. It was the same way with this. Like, God told me like 2 or 3 months before that, I want you to become a police officer. And I'm like, are you crazy? This is my total conversation with God. Are you nuts? Like, you got your, something's crossed here. You're thinking of somebody else. No, I mean, great, you get a gun, but wow, like a cop, come on. And God badgered me and, like, literally badgered me until I sat in my car one night and I said, yes, okay, fine. As soon as I said yes, I had such an amazing peace. But that was 3 years ago. You know, like, how many times, everybody, you have dreams and your heart's going and you're racing and you're excited, and like years go by. And the truth is, I want to be more like David. I want to be more like David. I want to be different. I want to, like, be in the cave, and like, Mephibosheth was in this nasty town, and David's stuck in these caves, and Mephibosheth became what he thought he was, a dead dog. David, however, he believed God. It says here in the Bible somewhere. I've lost my page. Anyway. Basically, it says, oh, here we go. In 2 Samuel 7:21, David saying to God, you've done all this not because of who I am, but because who you are out of your very heart. But you've let me in on it. Like, David, for years and years, was run after and spears thrown at him, and his best friend dies. And, you know, and then even at the end of his life, his son smoking crack, I'm sure they had it then. Like, you know, he went after his own father and all this stuff, but every time something came up against David's very destiny, he didn't go off and say, like Mephibosheth, I'm just lame, I'm unfit, I'm a dead dog. He said, I believe God. I'm believing that God has given me and anointed me to be king and ruler. So, I don't know what you guys are going through. I can tell you that every time I think, when I read these notes, it was weird because I haven't done this talk in like probably 3 years. And I remember reading it the other day and I'm like, whoa, they're really cool. It's good notes. And I'm like, do I believe this? I don't know. You know, like, I'm reading my very words and I'm like, wow, this is all about destiny. This is something that I have had in my heart for years. And do I believe it? I tell you guys, I want to be like David. I really do. I want to be understanding that God has an amazing purpose and plan and destiny, and it's all about him. It's all because of what he's done through me, but I don't want to be like Mephibosheth any longer. So I had this really cool video, and it was like this really cool black guy going, yo, I ate a stone and everything, but we're not going to do that. Anyway, I'm going to read this poem. And you probably heard this. The video was really cool because it had boxers and blood and everything, but, you know, next time. The guys would have loved it. All right. I want you guys to close your eyes for a moment. And this is random ministry time, because I know I'm not the only one. I asked God on the way here tonight, I said, God, what do you want me to, what's really need to be said tonight? And I had all the notes from 3 years ago. I had all this down. And God said to me, tell the truth. And I'm like, ah! And I said, what? Tell the truth? Like, that I feel like more like Mephibosheth? That, like, actually when I read these notes, I don't really 100% believe it anymore? Like, like that you're going to change me anyway, that I do want to be like David, like tell the truth, be exposed to strangers, that really good looking strangers. But yeah, God said tell the truth. So it's not easy to do that. I think the only two people I know really well in here are Lindsay and Chunker, and they know me. So everyone close your eyes. I'm going to read this. And I want you to decide with your eyes closed and your heart open who you want to be, who you are right now, and who do you want to be. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make the manifest of the glory of God that is within us. It is not in just some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Now, with everybody's eyes still closed, I want you to do something that I wouldn't ask you to do unless I was willing to do it. And I probably already did. I want you to admit to God right now if you're feeling like Mephibosheth. And in that admitting, I want you to put your hand up. Say, God, right now in my life, I'm feeling lame. I'm feeling unfit. I have labels that I'm actually starting to believe. I'm going to say a prayer. I want you guys to, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I want you guys to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I admit to you right now, I feel like Mephibosheth. I've believed the labels. I believe them as truth. And I've forgotten your truth. I choose right now to want to be like David, to believe beyond all doubt, to believe beyond all hope, and to know my destiny is absolutely amazing because you are my Father. And no matter how long it takes, and the character that you grow in me, I will be like David and believe. Yeah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this amazing group of people. Yeah. Lord, just go deep right now. Guys, right now, I want you to think of the dreams you've had and the destiny that you've had set over you, or just, you know, no one told me prophetically that, you know, you want to be a police officer. God did. Like, think of those dreams. And you got to know, any dream that God gives you, really nobody can put it down because it's God giving it to you. I have a couple quotes, and just as you're sitting there, that I found. Eleanor Roosevelt, I have this little poster thing in my room. It says, you must do something you think you cannot do. Because we have God. He can do everything. And John Maxwell said, courage is the discovery that you may not win and still trying when you know you can lose. When I say we're in the last days, when I say that we have a destiny, we were born for this time. You were born for everything that God has put in you. And I break off the labels right now in Jesus' name. I break off the labels of that your family has put over you, that the enemy has put over you, and I break off in Jesus' name the very labels you put over yourself. And I ask God right now you would go deep and bring the truth. Break those labels and give us the truth.
The love of the Father lavished upon us this morning. We want to know your affections.
Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it.
Yeah, I saw labels over our lives. Even before Mel started speaking, I felt like God was saying that he was taking labels off our lives. And as Kirsten said earlier about that feeling of homesickness, I felt like there are some people here who grew up with the labels of not wanted, I don't belong, no one loves me, I don't really fit in, I'm always going to be lonely. And I saw God coming, I saw him taking those labels off and saying over you, you are loved. You're chosen, you're wanted, you're accepted. But more than that, I saw him stamping on each one of us that you are mine. That the ultimate label in this life that we can have is that we are his. That first and foremost, we are his. And I bless each one of you to know that you are first and foremost his child. You are his son or you are his daughter, and his love is being lavished on you. And so, Father, we say yes to you tonight. Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to walking out the destiny that you have placed in us, God. We say yes to walking out like David did. Lord, come and take labels off our lives and replace it with your truth, that we are loved, that we are chosen, that we are accepted. And in the name of Jesus, I break all lies. I break the power of every lie. I break the power of every demonic spirit that's been trying to lie to you, that's been trying to hold you down. Because the reality is that you are so strong, you are so powerful, and the devil, the enemy, is so ridiculously scared of you because of the power that you have within you. Think about this. He tried to overthrow God, and in punishment he was sent down to this earth. And then God created man in his image and in his likeness. And now Satan must be like, oh my goodness, there's not just one, there's hundreds of them. What can we do? I don't know. We need to do something. Quick, make them believe something they're not. Make them believe something they're not. Because the reality is if we grasp who we are in him, this world will never be the same. Because we will walk in his light and in his truth and in his grace and his mercy and transform not only your life, but the lives of the people around you. And that's your destiny. That's what you're called to. I bless you to know that. I bless you to grow in that. I just want to say publicly, I just want to say there are a couple people. I don't know all of you really well, but I do know that I've seen Nathan and I've seen Jen and I've seen Brooke for the past 3 years. I've just seen them grow and shed labels and seen their lives completely transformed to the point where I don't recognize them. I've seen Amy. I don't recognize her. I don't recognize some of the people that we've walked it with for the past 3 years because of how much God's changed them. Some of them wouldn't even be able to look you in the face. Some of them would be so afraid. Some of them would put up walls. Some of them would put on this brave front. I'm all good, but inside they're hurting. And I've seen them walk out of that. I'm so proud of them. And the reason I say that is because I want to honor them and honor what God's done in them. But I also want to say that God wants to do the exact same for you. What he's done for them, he wants to do for you. So, on that note, be blessed. Have a great week. Next week, we're starting our series on the supernatural. Johannes and I will actually be preaching what on the prophetic. And it's going to be awesome. But above all else. And bless you to grow in the love of God, to know his love for you, that his the depths of his affection that go past anything you've ever known. That he's just, his heart just burns for you because he loves you. And we love you too. You're amazing. Mel, thank you so much. That was amazing. It's incredible. It's our privilege to have you. And that's about it. We're going to end. We need some help. We do need some help tearing down. Even if you don't know how to tear down, we just need some muscle to...